If you can first open up your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3. If you have a bookmark or something that you can put in Exodus chapter 3, go ahead and bookmark that. And then go ahead and flip all the way to near the end of the New Testament to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 is where we will be beginning here tonight. Exodus 3. Hebrews chapter 10. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let me start tonight by asking you a question. And this is the same question that I asked myself as I began to prepare this message. And the question is this: what one word about Jesus comes to your mind when we read Jesus say these words? This is my body, which is broken for you. What word comes to mind if you had to select just one word? Sacrifice. That's the word I chose too, sacrifice. Sacrifice. But what makes this sacrifice so special, so different? You know, just about every religion in the world has some sort of sacrificial system, and just about everything imaginable has been sacrificed, from milk to water to wine, the wood, the weapons. And they've done it for some wild reasons. Some believe that they were sacrificing to feed the spirit world. They would pour water or wine on the ground, and as the fluid sank into the ground, they would believe that the spirit world was drinking that liquid. They might offer food as a sacrifice, and they would put the food out into an open area, and they would leave it, and then they would come back. After they had come back, guess what? The food disappeared. And they would believe that the gods had come down and consumed the food. I don't know about you, but I tend to think that the food disappeared some other way. In some African indigenous religions today, they worship a god that they call Ogun. And Ogun, they say, is the god of automobiles and trucks. And a lot of you probably aren't going to like this, but to ensure their safety before they enter into a motor vehicle, they sacrifice a dog unto Ogun. That's some wild stuff, isn't it? Christianity is a lot different than religions of the world, as is the sacrifice. Tonight I'm going to show you that there's something different. There's something special about this sacrifice that separates it from all the rest. In Hebrews chapter number 10 is where I'm going to begin tonight. This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. I absolutely love it. Look with me at Hebrews 10, starting in verse number 4. The Bible says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God." If go ahead and drop down to verse number 10. It says, "By the which will," by Jesus doing God's will, "we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." And what are the last three words? "Once for all." Let's keep reading. It says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." When verse number 12 refers to this man, let me ask you this: who is this man? Jesus. Aren't you thankful that you're a Christian and that he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and that you're sanctified, you are made acceptable to a holy God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all? It's a done deal. There's no need for sacrificing water, wine, weapons, whatever, wood. Christ sacrificed himself once for all, one sacrifice for sins forever. It's a done deal. Let's flip now to the beginning of your Bible to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. It's interesting in Exodus chapter number 3 and in the Old Testament, in Israel, the animal that you read of that seems to have a lot of significance is the lamb. But also in Old Testament times, another creature seems to have a lot of significance, not necessarily in Israel, but in Egypt. Do you know what that creature was? It was the serpent or the snake. What did the Egyptian pharaoh wear on his headdress or on his headpiece? Do y'all remember?
Yeah.
Let me show you a picture of that if we have it. A serpent, a snake. In ancient Egypt, the snake was a symbol of power. And you might remember in the Old Testament, God's people, the nation of Israel, were slaves there in Egypt. In Exodus chapter number 3, the Bible says this. Look at me at verse number 7. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows." God sees, God hears, and God knows. Verse number 8, And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Out of the hand of the Egyptians. And do you know how God would ultimately deliver his people? How he was going to defeat that powerful snake, Egypt? Do you know how he was going to save the Jews from death and destruction in Egypt? He was going to do it with a lamb. Now, a lamb is probably one of the most gentle and weakest animals that are out there. Just think about a lamb for a second. A lamb is an animal that can't really run. It's slow. It can barely run, outrun anything. A lamb doesn't have fangs. A lamb doesn't have poison. A lamb doesn't have sharp claws. A lamb doesn't have sharp teeth. Yet God chose a lamb. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, the Bible says this. It says, "For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." Turn ahead in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And look with me at verse number 3. In Exodus 12 verse 3, the Bible says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a what? Lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Go down to verse number 5. Notice verse 5. It says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." He said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." It had to be a spotless lamb. That lamb pictures for us the virgin-born, sinless, spotless character of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus never, ever committed a sin, the Bible teaches. During his earthly ministry, here 2,000 years ago, religious people groups such as the scribes and the Pharisees tried to find a fault, tried to find a flaw in Jesus, but they couldn't. They could lie about him, they could slander him, but nobody could accuse him of sin. Nobody. Even Pilate had to say, "I find no fault in this man." You know, we learn a little nursery rhyme when we're little that we probably said as a child about Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And the Virgin Mary did have a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Speaking of Jesus, who was God's sinless, spotless Lamb of God. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19 on the screen, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." So what were we redeemed with, Peter? Peter says, "But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a what? Lamb. Without blemish and without spot." A spotless lamb. Second thing I want you to notice here in Exodus chapter number 12 is that this lamb was also a slain lamb. A slain lamb. Look with me at verse number 6. It says, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The lamb was slain. This lamb suffered death for the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel. Again, it pictures the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who would one day suffer death for the sins of the whole world. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ," what? "Died for us." Christ died for us. That Old Testament lamb was slain. The lamb was slain, it says in verse 6, in the evening. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. This Old Testament lamb was a special lamb because he was a spotless lamb. He was a slain lamb. And this lamb became a saving lamb. Look with me at verse number 22. In verse number 22, listen to the instruction that he gave to the Jews regarding the blood of the lamb. I'm in Exodus 12, 22. Every time you see the word blood in your Bible, I want you to say the word blood. "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, which is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood, which is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house and smite you. This lamb was a saving lamb. It saved their lives. They were to take the blood of the lamb, nothing but the blood. God didn't say, "If I look and I see your doorposts and they're decorated with gold or diamonds or medals or awards, I'll pass over you." If they did that, that wouldn't have done them any good. God wasn't going to save them based on their own possessions or based on their own accomplishments. For God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When I see the blood. He was looking to see if they would trust in the blood of that lamb to save them. The Bible says at the end of Hebrews chapter 9, 22, it says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." Without the shedding of blood. Jesus is the saving lamb for you and I today. Let me ask you this question. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. On the screen, Romans 5, 9 says this, "Much more then, being now justified by his" what? "Blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Just as the Israelites back here in Exodus chapter 12 were saved from death and destruction by believing that the blood of this innocent lamb was sufficient, you and I today are saved from eternal death by believing that the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient. That he bore our sins in his body on that tree. That he shed his blood, he took your penalty, he took your punishment in his body. The lamb was sacrificed so you and I could believe and be saved. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, he said, "For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Through his death, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says that Jesus destroyed him that had the power over death, that is the devil. And through Jesus' death and through Jesus' resurrection, Jesus now can offer you eternal life if you accept it. If you receive it. That Old Testament lamb was a special lamb because he was spotless, because he was slain, and because he was a saving lamb. One last thing. This Old Testament lamb was to be shared. Was to be shared. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 8 in Exodus chapter 12. It says, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. They shall eat it. They shared in what became known as the Passover meal to commemorate God's deliverance of them. This meal was to be practiced worshipfully from generation to generation. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, What mean ye by this service? What do you mean by this service? Verse 27, that ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped." And just as they fed upon that lamb so long ago to remember that sacrifice, we commune together today in what 1 Corinthians 11 calls the Lord's Supper, to remember what the Old Testament was pointing to. And that was the ultimate sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let me tell you something about the Lord's Supper. When you come to the Lord's Supper, it can be a time of thankfulness. It can be a time of gratefulness. It can be a time of worshipfulness. But it can also be a time of celebration. Because Jesus Christ has conquered death. Because the Lamb of God has slain that old serpent, the devil. And he's provided the way for you and I to be saved and have everlasting life in the future and have peace and sweet fellowship with God today. That's what's so special about this sacrifice that separates it from all the rest. Would you bow your heads with me? As we bow our heads and as we close our eyes, I want you to think about how this sacrifice was different than the rest, why it was so special, why this was a selfless sacrifice. This was the sinless Son of God surrendering to the will of God, not for himself, but for you and I, so that we could be forgiven of our sins and so that we could be reconciled to God. The Bible says he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He did the work so you and I wouldn't have to. He made the way for us to escape eternal death and instead give us eternal life. Aren't you glad he finished the work? Let's pray. Lord, we're humbled today that you would be mindful of us. You would be mindful of mankind, that you would love us enough, despite of how sinful that we are, Lord, to send your Son, sacrifice your Son, the Lamb of God. Lord, for that we're grateful. Lord, for that we're thankful. Lord, for that we're worshipful. But Lord, we also want to thank you and celebrate the resurrection of your Son that provided us eternal life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.